97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Ring off day, Jockey Cage Show on The Fanatic. Time to see who is the most creative vision of food out of this foursome. And Coach is one of the judges, which could end up, could lend to some corruption.
I hope we have more than one judge, don't we?
Yes.
Yes, the PJ chefs.
Okay, PJ chefs are the judge.
All right, good.
And Jim, part of the executive team, will be there.
Coach, so
there's going to be a lot of people voting on this thing.
All right, good.
So it's not just Coach, who I don't think knows any of our, he does not know any of our wing recipes, but he does know updated odds.
I've told no one my wings.
Nope.
What are the updated odds, Coach? Where did they come from? What is this all about? I don't understand.
Updated betting lines? What's going on, Coach?
Yeah, I have a little insight on the wings that you guys serve that they're going to be preparing from your recipes.
Mm.
I got a little bit of an insight on it.
Okay, we will have the updated betting lines coming your way. I did not see them on the new Park Sportsbook app, which went live last night. I did not see it this morning, Coach, though.
That'll be there today.
I got to check it out there and get a wager in. As we get started, 6 a.m. hours brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. What a beautiful day yesterday. And I hope we're going to have another beautiful one today. It was absolutely amazing.
I couldn't stay inside.
Like, so
beautiful. I found stuff to do all around the house and stuff like that just to stay outside. It was great.
So gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Hope you're enjoying it. And the end of winter seems to be upon us. Coach wants you to know the people who suffer from Boanthropy, believe they are a cow or an ox, and will try to live their life as a cow or an ox. Jamie, do you have anything to tell us on that?
No. Here's another example where I think he's just making stuff up.
Well, bovine is a cow.
Bovine is a, yes.
And you don't think Coach knows that? Like,
Anthropy,
he just made this up.
Boanthropy.
You guys fall for it. You're part of the problem.
Boanthropy. You know, you might want to live as a cow or an ox.
Of all the animals you could be, why would you want to be a cow or an ox?
Boanthropy is a psychological disorder in which the sufferer believes he or she is a cow or an ox.
Are
there people out there that suffer from this?
I swear to you.
I've never seen a person going around mooing.
The most famous
or
sufferer.
Or asking to be milked.
I see some that should.
Well, the most famous sufferer this condition is King Nubichunzur.
Okay.
Mic off, Pat.
I don't know how to pronounce
it. Like, you guys believe this.
Jim Gardner would never pronounce the name that way.
He doesn't know how to pronounce it.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's a ridiculous.
That's because you're having to make it up in the moment.
But he suffers from it.
I'm looking at it right here.
Boanthropy.
So many better animals.
There you go.
If you do a quick Google search of it, you'll actually see images.
Would you want to be a dog?
Yeah. No, I'd want to be a dog.
I'd want to be a cat.
No.
Monkey.
What's wrong with the cat?
Well, no. I can begin to list everything. It's the antisocial cats.
Go ahead. We have 4 hours.
We can get on to all that.
I'd go dolphin or eagle.
An eagle?
Yeah. They're
Not having hands.
By the way, at Disney last week at Animal Kingdom, we learned they made everybody give a standing ovation because the American bald eagle is no longer on the endangered and species list.
That's great.
So we've done good work.
The eagles are horny out there.
We've done good work there, and we've protected them. So
good job.
I think I figured out why Howie Roseman may be one of the most complex personalities that we've ever encountered in Philadelphia on the day that free agency begins. And here are my 3 points on this. One, I think most agree, meaning the majority of people, agree that we love Howie when it comes to managing the cat. Two, I believe most agree, meaning the majority, that we like Howie when it comes to trades and free agency. And I also think, three, that most agree that they can't stand Howie drafting. And I just bring it to that is no wonder we're all so confused. So yesterday I had to go to the car dealership. Then I have to go to Costco and get tires. And I get asked Howie Roseman questions multiple times. And it made me think about Howie is the complex way that people look at Howie Roseman, who is one of the most accomplished executives that has ever worked in this town. And how people love him, but people hate him, but people like this part of his job performance, but this is, I'm trying to think if there's been anybody. Because usually if there's an executive in town that we don't like, we can't stand them and we want them run out.
Can't stand you.
Yeah. If there's a manager in town that we don't like, we run him out of town. We don't like him, get him out of town. But for Howie Roseman, I know I'm there. And I believe if you're talking 50.1% of Eagles fans are just like me. More than half. Love him as a capologist. Like him in salary cap. Like him in trades and free agency. Don't like him drafting. And that's complex. That's very rare do we find an executive like that.
I go two ways. There's nobody's perfect. Okay, no, but you're never going to find the perfect GM. You're never going to find, but everybody's looking for it. You know, the Sixers line's not good because you don't have a stretch for it. You need a guy that can shoot, you need this and you need the other. And everybody wants perfection out of everybody. Joel Embiid's great, but he doesn't do this. He doesn't. Like I think more so anymore over, I would say, like the last 5 years, we're looking for perfection in everything, which isn't bad. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're right. The extreme, we've never had a perfect GM here. We've had very good ones. Pat Gill, a Hall of Famer, all of that. But the extremes, John, that you're talking about is exactly right. He can be great and horrible at the same time. And usually you'll have a GM that's really good. Well, they do everything pretty good. Maybe they're not great at everything. You know, the Phillies farm system. No GM has been able to shore that up through the years. Why? I don't know. But that's been a fault of all of them. But, yeah, the highs and lows with Howie are probably the most extreme I've ever seen with a GM.
I can't think of another executive where it's been like this, where you're like, well, wait a minute. Even his harshest critics usually will say, man, but he's great with the cap. Man, he's made some really good trades. He won that Super Bowl performance of him creating, plugging that roster was masterful. One of the best jobs I think we've ever seen of roster construction.
Yeah. What's frustrating about him is the thing that was preventing him from being pretty much as perfect as a GM can be was pretty simple. And that was stop overthinking the draft. Like, for years and years, you know, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside,
Jalen Rager.
Yeah, just overthinking it. Just shop where the best groceries are. And you saw that last year. I don't know if they were forcing positions, not going best player available, whatever it is. I think there was a drastic shift last year. And if he could just clean up the drafting, I think he'd be the best GM that's ever been in Philadelphia.
And we sort of like a few of the last drafts.
Yeah,
The 18 draft was stupidly good.
Yeah.
I think as far as when you have four guys you put to second contracts.
Yeah.
By NFL standards, that's a great draft.
Yeah, and nobody has any complaints there either. Jordan Mailata and Josh Sweat, you know, that year you're talking about with Avante is pretty impressive. You only had four or five picks and you signed four of them again. It's just, he was so close to being perfect, and then for so many years muddied the draft waters, and it sticks with people.
Pat, do you love, like, hate the same sort of way that I am, or do you believe? Do you take issue with any of that?
No, I mean, look, he was Jamie put it best. He really nailed the cap, and no Eagles fan will doubt that this guy can maneuver cap, dead cap money. Don't worry about it. He'll move around money, and boom, next thing you know, you've got a ton of cap space. His big problem has always been, like, talent evaluation. And, you know, 2018 draft looks really good, but then it's hard to ignore the failures of other drafts. And there were so many of them. And there were so many swings and misses and picks that didn't make sense, like taking Clayton Thorson when you only have five picks. And so it's like you can't tell the whole story of Howie Roseman without bringing up the bad, and it's so bad. And then the good is really, really good. There's not a lot of gray area with him.
Yeah, it's very complex. But it's funny, though, is that I was shocked that in an era, like at a time of free agency, well, I guess it's because it's free agency or whatever, that the first question that you just get asked, oh, how you doing, Mr. KK? What do you think Howie Roseman's going to do? What do you think about Howie Roseman? He's a very polarizing figure, but people are all over the fence on him. And I know I am. And I actually, I'm more pro than I'm negative.
Yeah, so where does he fall? That's the question.
I'd say 65. His approval rating with me is a little less than a 7.
That's funny because, I mean,
I did
as
a little
we
less
know,
than a seven.
Last year on these airways, people wanted him gone.
I did.
I mean, a lot of people wanted him
I
gone.
I did not.
That doesn't, that's not a good approval rating if you want to be gone.
But I say a little less than a seven for me. I consider that sort of, like I'm a little, I'm doing a Jamie, I was never Fire Howie. But, like, I remember when he made the deal to move back to 12. I hated it. He brilliantly executed that. I was wrong. I was stupid. He executed last year's draft, trades, everything spectacularly.
Yeah.
And I had a gut instinct that every decision he'd made was wrong until I saw the draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, I've once been in the camp of fire him, and I'm probably at like a 75% approval rating. I know that doesn't make sense.
You're even a little
higher
than
me. But that's the highs and lows of him. It's exactly what John's talking about.
Weird. It's just a weird, complex relationship we have with Howie.
You know, if he goes through this free agency period and does nothing more than Hassan Riddick, then maybe you're kind of like, oh, okay, I guess. But if he does something more, then he's the best.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the highs and lows of Howie Roseman. I mean, Hassan Reddick is a great signing. But is that all you're going to do is going to be the response of people also?
I was told something yesterday. I'll share after 7 o'clock of why Hassan Reddick may be the only sort of splashy move that's made because of money. And it was very intriguing to me, but we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on. But it's a great day. Bradford White Water Heaters are here for the pro. They bring you the 6 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show, and we appreciate that. We want to remind you, tomorrow morning, we hope to see you at the Irish Horn in Richboro, Pennsylvania, with our friends from Bud Light, 882 2nd Street Pike in Richboro. First 100 Fanatic listeners will join us. Get a free Fanatic 4-for-4 Leaf Clover t-shirt. St. Patrick's Day, the first day of the March Madness tournament. So stick around all day and catch the action. All sponsored by Bud Light. Perfect for anywhere there's fun, because where there's fun, there's Bud Light. And you get all the details at 975thefanatic.com. By the way, the bar will be open at 6 a.m. Doors will be open at 6 a.m. So we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Yeah.
At the Irish, it's going to be a lot of fun, eh?
Yeah, I love St. Paddy's Day. I love March Madness. Combine it all at the Irish Horn. That's a good time.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's going to be a rainy St. Patrick's
Day. That's all right. Makes you stay in and watch games.
Stay in, watch games.
I got no problem.
You're dry at the Irish Horn, right?
You will be dry. I believe they have the roof. They will have the roof closed.
Yeah, exactly.
At the Irish Horn tomorrow morning, they will have it closed. And Pat, I heard the Grenadine, they got the good stuff.
Yeah, I've also heard that. I'm looking forward. I could use some right now.
You little
I could go for a Shirley.
Little pick me up.
Yeah, I mean, I'll at 6 a.m. I'll be having it with
Shirley-ing it up.
Now at Disney, they call it a mini.
They can call it whatever they
want.
You
want a mini?
If it's grenadine and
there's a pat joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, mini.
But it's the
mini for the mini.
Yeah, exactly.
I was told as a kid that it's a Roy Rogers for a boy.
Yeah,
Shirley Temple for a girl. Yeah.
I don't play by that rule.
That's not the Roy Rogers roast beef.
No, all I cared about was the cherries as a kid. It load me up with cherries.
I remember having them at Ed Zaber's, which you guys would
I've
not remember.
Heard that name before.
Zaber's was the big restaurant in North Wildwood.
Oh, okay. That's
I think it was probably around 1st Street or 2nd Street in North Wildwood. And it was this gigantic restaurant, and that was the one night out at the beach vacation. Down the beach, we'd get taken out one night to Zaber's.
They give you the good cherries?
Oh, yeah. You wear, like to wear a blazer.
Oh.
You wore a blazer. No, but it wasn't like that. Today, people would roll in track pants and you know, nowadays, and that would be semi.
Not your Sunday
best. It wasn't that dressy, but going out to Zaber's was a big deal. That was the big. We usually got pizza on the boardwalk. And you didn't want to. Yes.
I can do that every night.
At least your family took you to the shore.
It's terrible. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
don't
terrible,
complain about
Bob.
Your one night out.
That's terrible.
Some of us didn't see the ocean until we were 17.
You lived in Jersey. How did you not see the ocean?
What do you couldn't jump in mom and dad's car because they didn't drive.
So, Rock didn't drive?
When we were 17, we jumped into the Maverick and went down the shore.
I don't know whether it's we should be playing the sad music, the Sarah
McLachlan.
It's not
sad. It's just how I grew up. I mean, you know, we didn't have anything.
In Jersey. Though you had water, though, in Jersey.
No, I told you about the first time I went down the shore. I was probably like 10, 11 years old. I don't know how we got there. There might have been a train or a bus involved, whatever. But I saw a sign saying Phillies tryouts. I told you this story. And I took my glove thinking, oh, anybody can try. It was for like American Legion players and stuff like that. And I walked up as an 11-year-old with my glove, like, where do I try out?
They sent you away?
A little bit, yeah.
You got back on the Greyhound?
They kind of
and went home.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, we have a Flyers ticket giveaway today for Thursday versus Nashville. That's tomorrow. Claude Giroux's 1,000th career game. You can listen today starting at 7 o'clock. When you hear the hockey horn, you are going to be the second caller for the first ticket giveaway to 215-263-0975 to win. Claude Giroux will join Bobby Clarke as the only other Flyers player to hit that mark with the organization. But Claude Giroux didn't fire me. So for tickets and info, go to PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. So I think of Claude a little bit higher. So that's great. Hey, Sixers are in Cleveland tonight, which is always fun. A good trip to Cleveland. It's a good young team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I wonder if it's going to be a rest night before a critical home game stretch.
Could be. Jared Allen's out for the foreseeable future. You should be able to beat. Should. Without him.
You right? Should.
Should. I stress that word.
Really? A rest night? Yeah. Man, this team needs a hell of a lot of rest. They need rest.
But Embiid hasn't rested in a long time, right?
Yeah. He's only missed one out of the last, what?
One
30
of the last
games?
Eight?
Something like that.
So he's due.
He needs rest. I mean, a night off is something that, professional athletes need once in a while. I think he's getting there, that he needs it. Whether it's tonight or not, I don't know. It's weird coming down the stretch. How do you handle things? And we're going to get into it later, too. But, as much as we roll our eyes when we see guys are getting rested or whatever, if it's for the benefit of the playoffs, how can we doubt it?
No, what I'm rolling my eyes at is the fact that he had two games off between every game for like a week and a half.
Yeah, but he looks tired, right? You got to get him right for the playoffs.
They have a game every other night from here till the end of the season. He hasn't taken any nights off.
Yeah.
Is it time? Could be.
I guess I just long for an era where Jordan, 82, 82, 82, 81, 82, 82, 80, 80, 78, 82, 82, 82.
That was 30 years ago.
And centers are different animals.
And today it's much more grueling. It was more grueling then.
I never said that.
No, but I'm saying it was more grueling then.
I wouldn't, I mean.
The players didn't have the life they have today.
I don't know if they did.
They didn't.
They didn't.
But with that said, you blame Greg Popovich for this. He's the one who brought it up. Everyone was playing about 82
You don't have to do what Greg Popovich says to do. I don't believe
he clearly Doc does. He wants to be compared to him.
He wants it that way. He would love it that way if the world was that way.
Yeah, but to act like Doc is the only one who rests. I mean, like, I cannot complain about Joel Embiid and his workload this year one bit because it's what we wanted. The fact that I'm begging for him to get rest is something I never expected.
Yeah, it is strange. But he has looked a little bit tired lately. And that's okay. Like, look, Pat's exactly right. This is what we asked for. You want him to play more, want him to play more, want him to play more. Okay, but you also want him delivered to the playoffs healthy and rested.
He's got
to
go 42 minutes a night.
Yeah, so if it's a night off here and there, what do they have, 15 left, say? About something that, like that?
About that.
How many do you think he's going to get off?
Two, three.
Yeah, I'd go three at the least. You have three back-to-back still going on.
He's got 15 games left.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's still three back-to-backs.
Yeah, you got a Sunday, Monday, Raptors Heat at home.
Happy days.
Exactly. Then you have the second and the third, you play the Hornets and the Cavs. And the last
Right, and then you close it out.
The last two of the year are Saturday and Sunday at home, where you may decide to manipulate things a bit with the Pacers and the Pistons. So two of the back-to-backs are at home. One, Raptors Heat is a challenge. The last one, Pacers Pistons, is
I think he'll definitely be off one of those, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how they will.
Yeah, probably three games off of the final 15, I would say.
Yeah, I would probably something like that.
Two of the three back-to-back, something
Yeah, it's
like
funny,
that.
We talked about extremes earlier. The Sixers have gone extreme with him. All the time off they gave him before, the load management and all, and it was getting all on our nerves. And then this year they go the total other extreme of they're playing him all the time. So is there somewhere in between? Do you have to now fit in the rest in the last 4 weeks
Joel
of the season?
So is it just Joel that needs rest, or is it?
James will probably get a couple games, too. He just had to stagger him and figure it out. I'm sure they have it pretty much mapped out. You know, when you weigh the opponent, the road, the flight, you know, all that. I'm sure they have a game plan here.
I got to tell you, I don't know. I smell smoke. I smell smoke. And I think there's a fire, a slow fire burning. I'm not feeling good about them going down the stretch at all. I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good about the way they're playing. I'm not feeling good about the sluggishness. I'm not feeling good about my star player saying that we're lazy. Though I appreciate honesty of players, lazy is something that can be fixed. And you and the other star player are the two of the biggest culprits about getting back and doing that. So it gives me, I have concerns. I know everybody else is, you know, whistling happy tunes and
no, it's not complete happiness. I mean, there's glaring holes that everybody sees. It's just, I still believe in those four to carry you. You should be able to win two rounds with those starting four.
Because you know you're playing every other night in the playoffs.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're pretty much, except that first round where they try to carry it out over three weekends.
Yeah, they make it like a month long.
Because they have so many other games they want to get into prime time. I don't know. I'm just smelling smoke. And I'm just being honest. I'm smelling smoke.
Yeah, I mean, that bench is pathetic. It is. I mean, there's no other word for it. It's pathetic. And it could be the what kills you.
I heard Mike and Tyrone yesterday, and I'm listening to Mike, Tyrone, and Jen. And they're like, yeah, people think they're not going to win now because of the bench. And I'm like, maybe not a first-round series, but absolutely, I think it could be a major reason why you don't win a second-round series, why you don't win a third-round series, or an NBA Finals. If you don't have a bench, you're not winning an NBA Finals.
Or your top pairing in the league, or one of them, carries you. Those are your options. And James and Joel, I believe, can do it. It's not going to be easy, but they're capable.
Okay. We will...
So's Kyrie and Durant, and so's Giannis,
I'll tell you what, watching Kyrie last night didn't give me a whole bunch of confidence in the Sixers
I think they put on a clinic last night of what you do when you go to Orlando and face the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
This is what you do.
Yeah.
You don't sleepwalk through a game and have to go to overtime.
Sorry, they won.
You impose your... Stop.
They won.
You impose your will. You see, you don't smell smoke. I can smell. Connor can't smell
concerns.
Here. Connor can't smell on this show. He's the one who can't smell. And that's true, by the way. He's not but he does not think he's an ox. We just think he is. Hey, in an emergency on the PA Turnpike, dial *11. Stay inside your vehicle. The PA Turnpike Safety Patrol, sponsored by Geico, and they will be there to help. Coming up, another one of the most complex stories probably ever talked about in the future of this city will be culminating tomorrow night. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. You want to watch hoops. You want to eat wings and you want to drink beer. And you know that Hooters is the official hangout for wings, beer, Hooters girls, and game day. And during the tournament, it is a great place to play hooky at Hooters, watching all of the basketball action, and you can watch it with the Hooters girls. It's been a long time. You've been away from your local Hooters because of the pandemic and more. So get on into your local Hooters. If you don't know where it is, go to northeasthooters.com. Now, some of you are going to want to throw the party at home. Now, the Hooters girls don't come over, but the great food can. You can watch the games at home. Order online at HootersToGo.com and be the MVP of your watch party. Grab Hooters to Go. Ordering online at HootersToGo.com. You can get all the fantastic famous wings, the chicken, the seafood, the burgers, and more. You will absolutely love it. And check out the salads, too. Might want to slip one of them in. Hey, HootersToGo.com brings the party home. Get into your local Hooters. It's been a while.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's go to the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Hopefully he has a few of those charging bricks because Adam Schefter's phone is going to be working overtime today. Hopefully We're waiting for good news, Adam, in Philadelphia. We're waiting for another signing. Hassan Reddick signing as a Temple University Owl and a local guy. We're really happy about this one.
Well, there was talk over the weekend that this was going to get done, and that's exactly what it got done. And guess what? There's more big free agent news in Philadelphia. They've signed four big players the Eagles have that I don't think people realize, and I don't think they're accrediting to this class.
Four big players?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Don't say Greg Ward.
Josh Sweat, Dallas Goedert, Avonte Maddox, and Jordan Mailata all would have been part of this free agent class.
That is the truth. We talked about that earlier on the show today, how having that off your to-do list really allows you to have the function of this offseason, which is going to be pretty much whatever direction you want to pivot.
And so people forget that, right? Like they're waiting, oh, okay, Eagles got Hassan Reddick. Who else are they going to get? Well, guess what? They got four pretty good players and kept them off the market when they would have been free agents. And they're not hitting the market. And I could already make the argument that by keeping Josh Sweat and Dallas Goedert and Avonte Maddox and Jordan Mailata, that the Eagles and adding Hassan Reddick have had a better free agency than most teams in the league.
Adam, have you heard anything on the Eagles and their involvement in the safety market? Marcus Mays already signed. You know, Marcus Williams, they were in on. He signed in Baltimore. It's pretty much dried up. I think one of the only big names out there is Honey Badger. Do you think the Eagles are still looking for a safety, or are we headed towards a Rodney McLeod and Anthony Harris reunion?
Well, it's a situation where, look, they made calls on Marcus Williams, and he chose Baltimore for whatever reason. Maybe the money, maybe whatever, but they made a run at Marcus Williams. It didn't work out. That's how free agency is sometimes. I don't know that Honey Badger fits the profile of what they look for in terms of size. He's been a great player for a long time. And I'm a Honey Badger fan. I just don't know that that's going to be who the Eagles go out and get. And so now you're looking, as you mentioned, at other options, and I think the draft. Like, you know, you take a run. There aren't many Marcus Williams out there. You take a run, didn't work, and then you move on to see what the other safety options would be.
Shefty, what are some of the highlights of Philadelphia, the team, the organization, whatever it may be, that could attract players throughout the league? And what are some things maybe that you've heard that would detract them from coming to Philadelphia?
I mean, I just think that, you know, the organization, if you look at it, I know that people give that team a hard time, but they've been a pretty consistent playoff contender.
Sure.
They have won a Super Bowl. They have made good moves. They do have a good talent base. Got diehard sports fans, which is a pro and a con, right? Like, it's a great town to play for. And when it's not working out, it's not so great sometimes. Like, that's how it is everywhere in life sometimes. We know how passionate Philly sports fans are. You guys better than me.
Go on. I'm sorry.
No, it's just a case where I don't think that the organization has to sell itself or the city has to sell. People know what Philadelphia is about.
If you were to say on a scale of 1 to 10 that there could be any dark horse involvement for the Eagles and Deshaun Watson, would he want to come here? And would the Eagles at this? We've checked in before on this. Any reason to check in?
No reason to check in. Nothing to see here. We can move on.
Okay, good. What about other quarterbacks that could be available now? What if you go to Cleveland and they say, you know what? What if they end up with Deshaun Watson? Then Baker Mayfield's on the market. Do you think anybody kicked tires on? You think the Eagles would potentially kick tires? Anybody like that that would potentially shake loose that they might be interested in?
I don't see a quarterback out there like that, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Matt Ryan or Sam Darnold, or you come up with a guy that all of a sudden comes free, Jimmy Garoppolo, that gives them much of a better chance to win this season than Jalen Hurts, especially with what you'd have to give up for him. And to me, as it stands today, never know what changes. But, I mean, look, it's tracking for Jalen Hurts to be the quarterback of this team this season.
Adam, I'm sorry.
For them to see what he can do one more time, for him to stake a claim for that job, for him to further distinguish himself. I thought he played well last year, played well enough to earn that job this year, and he played well enough for them to give him that chance this year, being that they're not going to get Deshaun. And I don't see another alternative out there that would be better than Jalen Hurts today.
Adam, the wide receiver market seems to have gotten a little spiked by the Christian Kirk contract. Is there any movement with the Eagles and potential free agents there? We've heard the Juju Smith-Schuster thing might not be real. Zach Pascal's been mentioned. Allen Robinson's still out there. Do you expect any tire kicking there in that market?
That's the kind of thing where I think the Eagles sit back. And for free agents that don't have deals right now, I think it's a case where, you know, you're bargain hunting. You're telling guys, look, you know, they weren't interested in them out of the gate, not interested enough to put together a big-time deal for them. But I'm sure they stay in touch with a handful of these players and say, hey, you want to come to Philly on a one-year deal for $5 million? I'm making this up a number. You get my point. You know, a bargain based on price that they didn't think a player would be available. Yeah, we'd be interested. And it's hard to say whether that would be Zach Pascal or Allen Robinson or whichever Juju, whoever's out there, right? I mean, that's what happens all the time. Marcus Williams thought he'd have a strong market and be off the market right away at a big number, and all of a sudden his agent circled back to Baltimore the night before as he's talking to Philly and said, hey, you have any interest? Yeah, well, what's the number? Okay, well, I didn't realize it was going to be that number. Yeah, we're interested. And that's how free agency sometimes works, and it worked there with Marcus Williams. So when you're talking about these wide receivers or any player, really, right? I always say, and I've had this conversation with players, if you don't have a deal locked up by this time of free agency, when it kicked off on Monday and we've gone through Monday and Tuesday and went to Wednesday now, and the league year officially starts at 4 Eastern today, but so many deals are in place. If your deal's not done now, almost always, not always, but almost always, the money is not going up. It's only going to go down. And so I don't know how much it's going to drop on certain guys, but certain guys will call up and say, hey, Philly, you know, would you be interested at this? Yeah, well, yeah, we didn't think that we could get this guy at that number. So, yeah, that's always possible.
Shefty, what's the general consensus among the league, people that you've talked to, about this year's draft talent? And I don't just mean individually, but I mean overall. Is this considered a very strong draft, a weaker? How's it been categorized?
It's a situation where the wide receivers in this draft, 25 deep, really deep there, really deep on both sides of the line. You know, you're going to get lined up. It's a question of if you want a top flight quarterback, there might be one, but it doesn't stand out right now to where you can say, okay, we're going to go draft this guy named, I'm trying to think of something, Trevor Lawrence, and know that he's going to be a great player. Like the quarter, it's by position, right? Quarterbacks are not considered real deep or strong in this draft. Wide receivers are, linemen are. So it's just a question of where you want. The depth of this draft, though, second, third, fourth rounds, a lot of talent, supposedly. Deep draft in that regard. I don't think it's a sexy draft, but I think it's a good draft.
When you look at this offseason plan now, when free agency comes, should we be looking at the people the Eagles are kicking tires on as sort of a guidepost to how they may go in the draft? Or when you're looking for a veteran, does it fill that way?
Well, you know what's interesting there, John, is that I think this, that there were certain teams in on wide receivers early on, like the top wide receivers, like a Mike Williams before he re-signs, like a Christian Kirk. And I say, I won't be surprised if and when that team comes back and takes a wide receiver. But let's just say there's somebody out there that calls Philly. Again, we're talking, I don't know, a linebacker, a corner. You know, I don't think there's much to take out of a bargain guy going to Philadelphia, offering up his services, and then saying, okay, I think that, well, that's what the Eagles are going to be doing in the draft. I think, look, safety, that was something that they would have liked to have added early on. They didn't. Would I be surprised if the right safety were available in the first 2-3 rounds if Philly went? No, I wouldn't. But before you anoint them a safety, the fact of the matter also is that they're also going to take the best player. Like if there's some great defensive lineman or something like that sitting there, that you weren't expecting to be there at your spot, and that's the strength in the draft, they're going to go there. So just because they made a run at Marcus Williams or wanted another wide receiver that they didn't get in free agency doesn't mean they're locked into that position in round one.
The do you believe that Deshaun Watson, this whole, there seems to be a lot of smoke this morning. People are throwing out things about the Falcons. They're meeting today or something like that. Do you believe that deal? Where do you think he ends up? Any idea?
People keep asking me that. And, you know, I'll just say this, that there are four interested teams that we know, the Browns and the three NFC South teams. I think the Browns have made a more persuasive case than people thought, and it's a strong roster. And he was. Do I think that Cleveland in the North, in the cold, in the AFC with all those quarterbacks, is going to offer more than one of the NFC teams in the South, closer to home? No, I don't. So, look, maybe Cleveland does an unbelievable sell job and gets it done. That could be. I'm not ruling out Cleveland. I just don't think that the Browns can stack up through no fault of their own to some of the locations and advantages that the other three NFC South teams offer. So now, if we break it down in that regard, I've been told he'd like to be close to home. Well, that would be Atlanta. I've been told he would like to be a part of a team that's one and one can sit. Well, that would be New Orleans. I'm told that he'd like to feel comfortable. I think he really liked David Tepper and his wife. Right, so I don't know which of those things is going to appeal to him most in the end. I think that, as it's been explained to me, that those teams came across to him better than he expected them to be. And it's almost like when you're trying to pick a new home and a new job and a new company, and you meet with everybody in person, everybody's going to put forward their best foot. And so, you know, I think they all impressed him more and made the decision more difficult for him than he thought it would be.
I got to just tell you, in my own personal opinion, this is just me, finding all these people all fawning over him and having like a free agency tour when he's a player under contract and everything like that, yep, for Deshaun Watson is creepy to me. That's just my...
There's an element of that. I mean, I understand that.
I
people that feel that way. Yeah.
Especially owners getting their wives involved in anything. It's just creepy. Hey, Adam, appreciate it, buddy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.